Cops using dogs to hunt criminals is a practice as old as London constables sniffing out Jack the Ripper. And drug detection dogs are as old as the war on drugs. As training methods become more complex, though, their jobs become more specialized, and there's a new question of where the line is between using dogs' natural skills to help catch crooks and save lives, and protecting the health of those dogs who can be trained to do anything for a partner's approval. And so into this comes a new drug and a new crisis.
This is for years now, and despite all the work that's been done, including this safe injection site, we're learning the opioid overdose problem isn't getting better. In fact, it may be getting worse.
Thousands of lives per year hang in the balance, so the RCMP has begun training their dogs to detect fentanyl. But fentanyl is so dangerous that one slip-up could kill a dog tasked with sniffing it out. So how exactly do you train a dog for that kind of danger? And who makes the call on when to deploy an animal that obviously can't properly understand exactly what it's been asked to do? Are we asking too much of man's best friend, or is this just a fair price to pay in the midst of an epidemic of lost lives? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Kyle Edwards of McLean's had a chance to witness the RCMP's new training program firsthand. So Kyle, we'll start with, who is Kelly?
Kelly is a German Shepherd. She's about a year old. Well, she's probably over a year old now at the time of reporting the piece. But she's this gorgeous German Shepherd that I got to meet in Innisfail, Alberta. And I was there late September, I think. And yeah, she was just starting out her training. She was about 2 weeks into learning how to kind of add different odors to her palate, essentially, like kind of feeling out the different odors and becoming more familiar with them so that out in the field, she'll be able to detect things like fentanyl.
What is that training process actually like for these dogs?
Oh, it's bizarre, actually. I think when I was there, I was really surprised at how, like, it's, first of all, I walk into this kind of the RCMP's dog training headquarters. It's just outside of Innisfail, Alberta. And when I was there, it was very foggy outside, and it's like this large facility. It must be several acres of land. It's huge. And you pull up there, and they have this like little garage, and inside there's this weird little setup where it's kind of like, in the story, I describe it as like a misshapen hockey rink where, and it literally kind of looks like a hockey rink, except, you know, there's like the white walls and then there's like these black things on the walls that are connected to tubes that contain different scents like fentanyl, heroin, cocaine. What I found so bizarre about it, though, was that there were, it's weird to see a bunch of grown men getting really excited with their dogs, like really shouting really loudly.
Yeah.
And every time the dog was able to safely sniff out the fentanyl that was in this container, a Kong ball would shoot out, and the whole room of like a dozen or so male police officers would just burst into cheers and start petting the dog and
it's
really
positive reinforcement.
Yeah, really trying to encourage the dog and let Kelly know that she did a good job. But it's kind of fascinating, too, because you get to see the intensity of the dog. The dog really knows what it. By only 2 weeks in, like, Kelly absolutely knew what she was doing. You could, like, really see the focus when she knew that fentanyl was locked somewhere inside that container on the other side of the wall. Like, so it's kind of like this tube. She basically sniffs the holes along the wall, and there's, like, a tube that connects to an odor.
And she has to find the one that has the fentanyl.
She has to find the one that has the fentanyl, and oftentimes, you know, they put Kong balls in all the different holes to try and confuse her, to let her know, because maybe she'll see the Kong ball and think, oh, that's what I'm looking for.
Right.
But no, she's looking for something that's out on the streets hurting a lot of people.
How recent is it that the RCMP have started to have dogs sniff for fentanyl?
The RCMP began trials kind of like, so it goes back to maybe 2016 when the head trainer at the RCMP, his name is Gary Creed. He was kind of sitting at home one day recovering from surgery, and he was kind of thinking about, you know, how the RCMP can kind of tackle the ever-growing trafficking of fentanyl.
Yeah.
And one of the ways of solving this war on drugs is, you know, through police work, and not everyone agrees with that. but he was basically just kind of trying to come up with ideas of how we can do this, because at the time there was no Suedo odor, basically a commercially manufactured scent that you can find for a lot of other different drugs like heroin or cocaine.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. So he had been getting tons of calls from police officers across the country, as well as former dog handlers within the RCMP who are now working in the private sector. And they were asking if the dogs that he breeds and trains, if they knew how to safely detect fentanyl, and they didn't. So he thought to himself, you know, there has to be a way to do this. There has to be some way we can safely allow our dogs to kind of become familiar with the scent, include it onto their odor palettes. So he, along with the RCMP's drug lab, they developed this liquid solution. And this was, so at the time, this was in 2016. And they developed this liquid solution that, so they essentially just turned the powdered fentanyl that they find on the street into like a liquid, so that it wasn't something that you could necessarily inhale. It was in 2017 that they began actually training all of their dogs to properly detect fentanyl using this liquid solution. And so it turned out that after all the trials, after all the testing, the liquid solution, fentanyl, the liquidized fentanyl essentially, equates to the powdered substance that they're finding on the street.
So they're out there. There's some of these dogs are out there working now.
Yes. Right now, all of the RCMP's narcotic dogs that sniff out for illegal substances across Canada, of which there is about 120, they're all currently trained on fentanyl.
Wow. So do we have any idea yet, I guess, how much of a dent this has made, like how much fentanyl these dogs are responsible for, and what the RCMP is hoping like they can do to get the stuff off the street?
Well, I think for right now, they're really just trying to cut off the flow of fentanyl that is continuing to enter Canadian cities and small towns. And they've had some large success with it. In 2017, just a few months after the RCMP's German Shepherds were trained how to seek out fentanyl, there were two major fentanyl busts along the Trans-Canada Highway in British Columbia. And they were made by a guy I was actually able to speak to at the Innisfail headquarters in Alberta. His name was Corporal Clayton Cattellier, and he's also a Manitoba boy.
Okay. So you guys got along?
We got along pretty well. It was really interesting to hear what he had to say. So he made his first bust not long after his dog Dudes was trained on fentanyl, was a bust of 12,000 fentanyl tablets.
Okay, so actually explain to me, because you talked to this guy, because this is one thing that I actually don't know, having never been stopped and had a dog called on me. What do those busts look like? What do the dogs do when they get to the scene?
It's really interesting. So in one case, Clayton Cattellier, he pulled over a man for speeding. He was driving this old-style van, and he became suspicious of the person who was driving. I'm not sure what those indicators were. He didn't share those with me at the time. This was an ongoing ongoing trial. But he became suspicious of the driver, who was an elderly man, and told, I guess, based on those grounds, he said, "I'm going to run a police dog around your vehicle."
So he goes and gets Dudes.
And so he goes and gets Dudes out of the back of his police vehicle. And he's basically on a short leash. He kind of holds her. He kind of slowly walks her around the van. And Dudes, she'll do what she does. She sniffs along the van. And while that's all happening, Cattellier can kind of notice her mood changing. He can see certain things, certain reactions that she's having. So in that moment, even before the final alert, he knew that there was something in there. And once Dudes was also certain that there was something in the van, not knowing exactly what it was, it could have been one of a number of drugs, she gave her final alert, which is a sit. So she just did a nice, simple sit, and that gave Cattellier the right to search the vehicle from the inside.
And that guy in the vehicle doesn't know it, but when that dog sits down, he's in trouble.
Right, yeah. When I was reporting the story, I really got the sense that this was something that you kind of get a really strong sense of how, I guess, sophisticated maybe this trafficking industry is. Because after the first initial search, Clayton Cattellier found nothing in the van. He looked around, like looked into the seats, did all that stuff. There was nothing in there. It was only until he took the van to a to a garage in Chilliwack, BC. He basically stripped the entire vehicle, removed the tires, started pulling apart carpets, and he removed the interior, and he started reaching his hands inside, like, the walls of the vehicle, down, like, the wheel well, and that's where it was stashed. He started pulling out bag after bag of basically Ziploc bags full of fentanyl tablets.
So he had to make that call based on the fact the dog sat down, like, to haul that vehicle off and strip it down to its, like, wireframes.
Right. And that's the kind of relationship that these guys have with
their dogs. And that's a dog that's just been trained to sniff fentanyl. So, like, I would wonder if, like, okay, well, maybe she doesn't have it this time. There's nothing.
He was absolutely 100%. I think he had all the belief in the world, I think, in his dog, at least when I spoke to him. It just felt like you just kind of get to notice the relationship that they have. It's really something that's unique.
Do they live together or just work together?
They live together. Yeah. And in many cases, when a police dog will spend about 7 or 9 years on the force. They start from anywhere from 1 to 2 years old. And they'll live together. And in some cases, when they retire, they'll live out the rest of their lives with their handlers.
You said safely sniff fentanyl. How dangerous is that for a dog?
Oh, it's incredibly dangerous. It's just as dangerous as it is for humans. 4 granules or 2 milligrams is enough to kill a person. That is like about like 4 grains of salt.
Okay. And they're getting their noses up to this, theoretically anyway. Is fentanyl more dangerous to search for than the other drugs that are in their palate?
Absolutely. I would say so. It's killing more and more people, more and more Canadians every single year. It takes such an incredibly small dose to kill a human as it does a dog.
Are there any regulations from the RCMP around when they will or won't send their dog into a space when there might be those, you know, grains of salt of fentanyl around?
A lot of the officers I spoke to basically stress the fact that they won't unnecessarily deploy their canine partners. If they see that there is a substance littered around a suspect's house, if it's noticeably visible and they believe it could be a dangerous situation, at that point, there's really no need for them to deploy their dog. But yeah, I mean, at the same time, though, Gary Creed, the head trainer of the RCMP, he was a bit blunt about it. He basically stressed that, yes, these dogs have dangerous jobs. That's part of the reason why they have them. He said that if they would never unnecessarily expose their dogs to fentanyl. But if it meant saving somebody's life, of course they would.
And where do animal rights groups line up on that?
According to PETA, who I did reach out to for the story, they were in 100% support of police dogs, believing that they did serve an important public service, basically. They were, however, against the breeding of police dogs, which the RCMP does. They breed all dogs on site near Innisfail, Alberta. But the Alberta Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals was far less concerned about really the use of police dogs. They were in favor, no concerns at all of how the animals were treated or what they were doing in their daily lives.
Have any dogs OD'd in Canada yet since the program started?
No dogs have OD'd in Canada, at least according to Gary Creed. I asked him why that is, why he thought no dogs have ever overdosed in Canada. He said, just luck.
This is a question that I absolutely don't mean in jest. Is this another career path for dogs that were once trained to sniff for marijuana? And if not, what happened to the dogs whose job it was to sniff for pot?
The dogs that were trained to sniff out pot are no longer working for the RCMP.
Really?
Yeah, there was about just over a dozen of them, and they were all like kind of forced into early retirement. Actually, Clayton Cotellier's dog, Dudes, who I previously mentioned, with the legalization of marijuana, she was forced into retirement because they simply just couldn't have her alerting.
Everybody now just walking around carrying weed.
Yeah, exactly. And so they were all forced into early retirement. I asked Cotellier what would happen to Dudes. I don't think Dudes will be retiring with Cotellier. She'll not be spending out the rest of his days at his house, but he was telling me that he has a home lined up for her.
Kyle, are they good dogs?
They are good dogs. I was a little afraid of them, though.
Really?
I was.
They're big dogs.
They're big. They're fast. I was holding a Kong ball and the dog just wanted to rip it out of my hands. Or no, I think I just had his pet and he wanted it back really badly.
But you didn't get hurt.
No.
Kyle Edwards of McLean's. That was The Big Story. For more from us, visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. Check out our other episodes. Drop us a line. You can hit us up on social media at Big Story Podcast, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. We are, as always, wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get there, hit subscribe, hit rate, hit review, and then, you know, share a link and push it on to your friends and tell them to check out our podcast. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. Thank you for listening. We'll talk tomorrow.